A reading from the Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive, and many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father, for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but only in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James' son, all were united in their devotion to prayer, along with several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Please turn in voices together to hymn number 366, "Although Our Lord Has Left Us."
Friends, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts is acceptable to God, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As you listened to the text, the scripture from the book of Acts, you might have noticed the sounds different from what we've been hearing as we have worked from the beginning of Advent through the book of Mark. But it does not appear that it is without action. We are often offered at the very beginning of this passage somewhat of a seasonal recap of sorts of what has happened since Jesus' death and resurrection. Acts is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, written later and by a different author than Mark. Writers and books have different intentions and ways of telling a story. And in this case, for the writers of the Gospels, the story of witnessing to their experience of who Jesus was and what was his mission. So our first act together is crossing a rope-like bridge, maybe slightly precarious, from the Gospel of Mark to Acts. Not a gospel, but the story of what it meant for those first disciples to carry forward the gospel they had experienced, the good news which was within them, even if they didn't even realize what all it meant. We left Mark, as Beth said, at the end of Sabbath, with the stone rolled from the tomb. A man in white reiterating that Jesus wasn't there. Women running from the site in fear and not telling anyone, including the disciples, especially Peter, even though that's what they were told to do, that Jesus awaited them in Galilee. As we land in Acts, Jesus and the disciples are gathered on the Mount of Olives, some 40 days after the tomb is empty and the risen Jesus meets disciples. This period between Easter and Pentecost is a transitional period for the disciples as well as for us, the readers, the listeners. And it is a significant transition. It's reasonable to speculate that the disciples wondered, who knows where we are, much less what's next. They know things have changed, but they don't quite know how. One of the meanings of the number 40 in the scriptures includes that of transition time. Moses, 40 days on the mount receiving the tablets, the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years as they left slavery for the promised land, Jesus in the desert for 40 days prior to the beginning of his ministry. All times of significant change. We are at another time of significant change. Now the disciples are told to wait until they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not it was exactly 40 days or not, since Jesus left that tomb, the disciples took a breath with Jesus in preparation for what was next. Theophilus is mentioned in Luke as well as in the beginning of Acts. This may be a reference to a Roman official. However, the Greek meaning of the word is one who loves God. Use of a given name adds an element of intimacy for the readers. It is for us. We are the ones who love God. It's us that are hearing this, listening to this story, this recap. Then the text names 11 disciples, which is also a form of intimacy, as well as an acknowledgement that there was one who had been with this group, a companion for most of the journey with Jesus together, Judas, who was no longer a part of that group. Luke and Acts are telling a story that includes Jesus spending time with those first disciples in ways that may have provided comfort and settling for all they had experienced. They, after all, were Jesus' friends. Honestly, the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, and especially that last week in and out of Jerusalem, was a wild ride. What this scripture offers is another wild event of Jesus disappearing into a cloud. The disciples return to Jerusalem after being told to stay there, and with a promise of receiving power. Without jumping ahead, the receiving of power is yet another wild experience of which they have no clue is coming down the pike. All of these disciples have experienced in these past 3 years would reasonably leave anybody's head spinning. While they may have absorbed some pieces of what they experienced, this text shows that they still are not getting some important pieces. The Messiah they are still looking for is the one who would restore the kingdom of Israel as a nation state. But Jesus' mission is different than this understanding. What has their attention is distracting them from what they need to understand in who Jesus is. And in turn, as followers of Jesus, who they are to be. Jesus redirects them that they are to carry forward the mission by going out into the world, sharing what they've seen and what they know, and by enacting the kingdom through healing and testimony, without any empire or kingdom activity. Their mission will be like a big, worldwide Israel, a whole globe of the people of God. But it is for them to create in community, not in isolation, not one by one, together as a community. Jesus allows that they are asking, what they are asking for is actually a form of what will happen, but not in the way they imagine it. Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is an important companion of Jesus throughout Luke's gospel, beginning with the Holy Spirit descending on him just before he enters ministry. Acts continues the importance of the Holy Spirit's presence when Jesus confirms the disciples will have what they need to carry forward Jesus' mission. This is a mission they cannot do alone or on their own, even together on their own. And they will not be alone. They will have one another, and they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But they still don't know what's next or what it will mean to receive the Holy Spirit. It's notable that those who gathered with Jesus on the Mount of Olives are members of the same group that had abandoned Jesus on the Mount of Olives at the time of his arrest. However, these would be the same followers to start something new. What they did at the time of the crucifixion does not define them. They will be carriers of the story. They are reminded they will not be alone in whoever they are, however they show up, how whatever they have been, they will not be alone. And they will be given the strength that they need. Once Jesus disappears in the clouds, two men in white give the disciples a message that can leave one scratching their head. On one hand, they are told to stop looking up, even though they are told this is where Jesus will come back from. Who wouldn't look up? I would look up. However, on the other hand, they are told to wait. Something is coming. They are to go to Jerusalem and wait. The Holy Spirit is not here yet. They are in the middle, a liminal space of the not yet. I don't know about you, but waiting is hard. It's a hard space to be and stay. It's especially difficult for leaders, people with a hard work ethic, those for whom movement is the way to stay focused. When there is so much that needs to be done in this hurting world, there's so much pressure to do. This text is a reminder that sometimes what we need to do is sit in prayer, to just be. According to the text, the way they did that was by devoting themselves to prayer, and it's not described what that exactly means for them. Prayer isn't easy. How many of you were taught to pray to close your eyes, bow your head, fold your hands? Closing my eyes meant having an amphitheater across the eyelids of my eyelids, and it was quite the adventures that would roll across that screen. Or if I squinted really hard and released suddenly, I would have a fireworks kaleidoscope kind of a display in front of me. There's a lot I could do other than concentrate with closed eyes. It was a great day when I met Claire, the counterpart of Francis of Assisi, who said to pray with your eyes open. While there is a deeper meaning than the literal one of this, I took it literally and found for myself that if I created a space with a focal point for my prayer, it allowed me to bring in my prayer life the concerns of the world and the joys, and it broadened my own posture of prayer. I didn't learn that on my own. And I am more focused when I am with others in prayer. Maybe the disciples knew this when they went to the room together, spent their time praying together as they waited for the unknown way that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit. They chose not to pray, not to wait alone. Being in prayer, in that open stillness, may have been exactly what those disciples needed to reflect on what they had experienced, to identify from these years what was going to help them meet what was next. Jesus isn't going to do the next thing. The disciples are. We are. Not alone, as a community, not in isolation. And regardless of how we find ourselves, if we wait together in a state of prayer, the Holy Spirit will move something in us. We will have what we need to do the next thing, even when we don't know what the next thing is. Take a breath. Find your people. Be in prayer. You can't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. What is most pressing is to hold close, stay put, stay in community, stay in prayer. In that time of prayer, what the pieces of the last chapter of your life that is important to hold in your hands right now, you'll discover it. Another time you may need other things to hold. Look and listen and wait for what it is you need now, for what's next now. Look back on your life. Figure out what the season recap is for you. Identify what you need next, for what's next, but not alone, in and with community. I wonder how Seattle Mennonite is taking a breath to identify from the last chapter what is important to hold right now for the unknown of what is next. How are we in prayer together with those pieces to be ready for what's next? Are we waiting in the posture of not getting ahead of the Holy Spirit? Friends, we are not alone. We have each other. Any wild ride we may have experienced has important pieces we can identify if we pause in prayer. Together, holding those pieces, along with receiving the movement of the Holy Spirit, will be what is needed for what is next. May together we wait, actively pray, and receive what the Holy Spirit brings, assured it is exactly what is needed for what's next. Amen.